Well, good morning, or as our brothers and sisters across the world would say, Indopwa. It's good morning in Kokumba, and you would answer Lafibe, and I'm doing well. And or just to make it simpler, the short for good is Na. So I got that one down. So the others I'll probably butcher, but I've got that one. So hey, welcome to Second Baptist Church. So glad that you're here. Excited to be with you this morning, and looking forward to our time of worship together. I just want to say a special welcome if you're a guest in person this morning or online. We want to connect with you. We can do that in one of two ways. One, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that out at the end of service, leave it in the pew, or leave it with the offering plate as you leave today. Or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. You can click that button and fill that information out, and it's a way for us to connect with you, know who's worshiping with us this morning. And so, grateful you're here. Thank the Lord for rain and a little bit cooler temps. And so grateful for that this morning. And just want to share with you a few announcements, a few things that are happening in the life of our church. And so first of all, this evening, we are having a special call business meeting. As you may be well aware, and we have a note in the bulletin to excuse our mess, but we are working on remodeling our fellowship hall area, just trying to make it more effective for ministry. It's the most used space in our church, and so our special call business meeting is with regard to that. And so hope that you'll make plans to be back with us tonight at 5 o'clock, and so be here for that. And then if you would like, I want to encourage you, maybe bring a bucket of ice cream or brownies or cookies or something, or just come, and afterwards we're going to have just kind of a dessert fellowship, hang around in the reception hall, and then also we'll have the fellowship hall open in case you haven't got a chance to see kind of the progress and be able to check that out tonight. So I encourage you, if at all possible, come back at 5 o'clock tonight as we have a business meeting. We'll have that in here. And then anybody that would like to, we'll go down and have just a time of fellowship and enjoy that time together. And you'll be able to see the progress of the fellowship hall. Okay. Also, there's a lot of activities coming up, mission trips and camps and those sorts of things. And looking forward to this morning, get a chance to commission another mission team, if you will. We're headed to Memphis this tomorrow, so we're headed to Memphis this week. Be there Monday through Friday, Lord willing. And I just want to say, if you're interested and still an opportunity to be a part of that, if you want to drive over for a day, or maybe your schedule's worked out and you can come over for a couple days, there's still an opportunity. I don't know of a better opportunity to be able to share the gospel, get a chance to either see it modeled or be a part of that. And so would love to have you join us. If you're still interested, just visit with me about that. And in a week from today, we also have a team headed out with the associational mission trip, headed to the Delta. And so you can visit with Jonathan about that this morning. We need to pray for him. He is over at Flat Rock Baptist Church this morning, filling in, preaching for them, and just ministering to that church family in our association this morning. And so be praying. They are without a pastor, and they have a... But we worked this out when Gary and our mission team was coming in and going to serve Vacation Bible School. And so we set this Sunday up in the hopes that maybe, and prayerfully, maybe they had decisions and young ones that need to follow in believers' baptism. And so they weren't able to set up anything this morning, but they do have some that they're talking to and having conversations with and following up. But nonetheless, he's filling in from the pulpit for them, and grateful for that opportunity for him. And as our church tries to continue to minister to that sister church in our area. And then also, July 24th through the 28th is Children's Camp at Camp Siloam. And so, again, you can visit with Jonathan about that, about any questions you may have with regard to that, okay? And then just want to mention to you, obviously we're headed to Memphis this week and work alongside Brother Ronnie Tullis, and First Baptist Branch has taken a group as well. And just visited Brother Ronnie and thank the Lord his health is doing well, and they're excited about us coming. And he did mention, just to be praying for him in the ministry. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Just their finances haven't been as strong as they have been in the past. And so just some struggle there. And so if you're interested in giving and being a part to help support that ministry, you're always welcome to do that. But if you would, just pray for them that God would meet their need and touch their finances and provide for them as he always has. And so grateful for this morning, excited to be with you, looking forward to praying together, singing together, and then just hearing what God is doing and wants to do. And so this morning, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer and just ask the Lord to focus our heart and mind on him. We're going to sing to the Lord, and then following that, you're going to get a chance to hear some stories from our mission team about what took place this past nearly 2 weeks that we were gone. And so they're going to come and share with you just brief testimonies about some things that God did in and through them. And so I'm excited about that. And then I'll come and share a little bit and then preach the Word of God to us this morning. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to be with us this morning. God, you are gracious and kind and merciful. Thank you for today. Thank you for how you love and care for us. God, thank you for your hand of mercy upon us. God, I pray this morning that in all things you would be glorified. I pray that we would sing and worship and honor you. Lord Jesus, I pray that all that is said and done would exalt the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray you'd bless the preaching of your word and God, draw us closer to yourself. God, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Just stand as we sing.
Well, amen. Well, I'm going to invite our mission team to come join me here this morning. And Kelvin is coming. I'm going to let him go first. He's helping run the soundboard this morning. And so just kind of a quick word. It was us four from Second Baptist, and we joined seven others from Crescent Valley Baptist Church out of Oklahoma. And so we met up in Charlotte, landed in Accra together, went through London, then to Accra in Ghana, and then spent several days, returned on Friday. And so I've asked each one to kind of just share a brief testimony, just a story or something, how the Lord really impacted them this week. And so they're going to come and do that. And so Kelvin,
we would introduce ourselves. My name is Kelvin, and I am from America.
My name is Kelvin, and I am from America.
I have come to tell you about the only true God.
I have come to tell you about the only true God.
The God who created this world and everything in it.
The God who created this world and everything in it.
Oh, thank you. thank you, Ryan. That's how we had to speak. We had to say a statement and then have our interpreter repeat it. Our pastor got into a rhythm one time, and boy, it was just fast and good. And people of Ghana were excited. Pastor, I have 3 points and a poem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. We were asked to tell about what impacted us the most, and I'm going to share with you what impacted me. The first thing that impacted me was to be ready. Be ready, as 2 Timothy says in chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Well, my first time to teach was to give a word of encouragement at Second Baptist Church Ghana. Chris stuck his head in the van and said, "Kelvin, you're up." Well, in my mind, I said to myself, "Weren't we doing baptisms today?" So anyway, God quickly put me to the section I had been studying. I studied Philippians to bring teaching out of it. But God pointed me directly to a passage in Philippians about the joy of knowing Christ. So I was able to share a word of encouragement to our sister church in Ghana by the same name. So that was a good experience for me. But there was experience another time where I taught on in Philippians on the joy through humility. I felt well prepared, taught on that lesson in chapter, I believe it's 2 of Philippians, the first part, a lesson in humility, and having joy through it. And I learned a lesson in humility in the process. Questions came at the end of my teaching, and one of the questions was not about what I taught. So in the context, it was not related to what I taught. So to be quick about it, I asked our pastor to come and answer that question. But the hard part of that was knowing as a teacher of the Word of God, what the Bible says in James. We talked about it in our Sunday school class today. Not many should be teachers, knowing they will be under a stricter judgment. And so that gave me a learning experience that I needed to be more diligent in my study of the Word, be able to be ready in season and out of season. And in this case, out of context. But that was some things that impacted me. We have a group of pastors in this church that lead us to live out our mission. All our pastors do that, I believe, and we as a church are a sending church, I believe. And I want to thank you for being a sending church or a Great Commission church. We as a church, I believe, have completed the cycle. Or in baseball, you hit for the cycle. So I believe we've done that. If you have prayed or gave or you went on a trip, we have been a part of hitting for the cycle. As described in Acts 1:8. Personally, with you being a sending church, I've been able to hit for the cycle myself. Because I have not, this is not a boast, but I have been able to serve in this community, in the state, and in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and after this trip to the ends of the earth in Ghana. So I want to thank you for being a sending church because that perfectly describes what we are, I believe. I want to thank you for being a sending church. I have many other things I could talk about, like driving to dodge goats on the road, which was an experience, and the long, grueling trips we took down
smooth roads,
not very smooth roads, or even the unrestrained worship of the people of God. It was great to see people worshiping unrestrained. But again, I want to thank you for being a sending Great Commission church.
I have to say, working with the women, I didn't have him telling me when I was up. We kind of, the women got together and organized ours before him. Anyway, I just want to say, this was a big stretch of my faith. It was a strong lesson in relying on God's strength. So let me kind of go back to before we ever left. And I don't know how many of y'all were here about a year ago when Moose came and talked in our church during Sunday school, and he shared with us. And there was one statement a story he shared that really impacted me and kind of planted that seed in me of wanting to go to Ghana. And he was talking, I believe it was to one of the tribal chiefs about Jesus. And the chief asked him, "So when did all of this happen?" And he said, "Oh, about 2,000 years ago." And he said, "Why are you just now sharing this with us?" And so that kind of planted that seed. And then we rocked along. Brother Chris had the planning meeting, I think, I don't remember when, sometime just after the first of the year. I went and he started talking about, okay, so the women, what they do, you know, they go and they teach these other women. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, that's not me. But God just kept giving me these verses about, you know, that he would be with me, not to be afraid. And I argued with him, like, on the level of Moses, you know, saying, I can't do this, God. But he kept at it, and finally, our Mexico mission trip in the spring was canceled, and that was kind of like the last thing that was like, okay, I need to go. And so there were a lot of challenges. Like I said, that's everything was kind of outside of my little box of comfort and what I'm used to. And I was going to be the oldest woman there. I'm talking, I served with ladies that were two 24-year-olds, 37-year-old, and a 15-year-old. So this is a funny story, but we were sharing one day with the women, and the interpreter was up there. They would come up there and talk, and he said, okay, now this sister is going to share with this. And I was at the end of the line that day, and he says, this sister is going to share with this. And then when it came to me, he said, now mother is going to come share with this. But anyway, so Thursday was the first day that we started serving, and we did a church plant there. And it was supposed to be a day of baptism, but that doesn't always happen the way it's supposed to. So it's a church plant, and just seeing these people's readiness to accept the gospel. And then something that really challenged me, because I had been so resistant to come, is after they give the invitation and people make a profession, you know, they want to follow Jesus, and they ask if they want to plant a church in their community. And then they call out, they say, okay, we need 6 leaders. We need 3 men and 3 women. I mean, these are just people that have just accepted Christ, and they're having to step up to the plate, you know, be leaders of the church. And so that really spoke to me about, you know, how I was so resistant, and here these people are just going in full force. And then Saturday was our first day of women's ministry, and that was what I was the most nervous about. Of course, Brother Chris tells us beforehand, you know, just pick a book of the Bible and come up with 4 or 5 lessons. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So, but, I mean, God really blessed me through that studying of his word and gave me messages to share. And these ladies are happy for God's word. And most of them, if they do read, they don't have a Bible. So what they're hearing, you know, they're taking all that in so that they can learn from it and so they can share. And that was just really a blessing. And God gave me, kind of at the end of the trip, there was this verse I came across just in my daily Bible reading, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. And it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And I can say that God showed himself strong to me these last couple weeks. And I thank y'all so much. I know a lot of that strength came from your prayers. And I have ladies that I know were praying for me. Our first time we taught was, it was like 10 in the morning there. And I'm thinking, oh, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, I'm going to just text a couple ladies and maybe they'll be up. And sure enough, somebody was praying for me. And so anyway, I just want to challenge you, if God's calling you to do something that is kind of outside your comfort zone or something that you don't think you're equipped for, just step out, give him the yes, and in his strength, he'll glorify himself.
Steve, you're up.
Those are the most dreaded words to hear. Steve, you're next. Well, the information meeting that Brother Chris gave, I went to it, and I can go, but wasn't really filled to call to go. But Sharon says, man, I can't get over this feeling, I gotta go. So then I says, well, I'm not gonna give her 12 days of bliss without me, so I'm gonna go. That may not come out this bright. But anyway, several people that came forward said they wanted to accept Christ. I doubt seriously we'd ever see that in the States. Nothing like that. It's just amazing. I managed to get myself busy the week before we were supposed to go, and although I'd already done some lessons there at the end, I said, well, God's either going to show me, and he should have prepared a little bit more, or I've got this and we'll go forward. Well, I guess I did okay with his help, because there were several folks that got saved when we planted that I had the opportunity to share the gospel and plant a church. So you can even use an old country boy that doesn't speak very well. But anyway, as others have said, thank you so much for helping with expenses. And I would like to challenge you even now to start praying for the next trip. Praying if it's God's will, that people go. Pray about potentially helping financially. And then also pray about going. It's a very impacting trip. And Pastor, if God says yes, I might go again. Can I say you're up next?
Well, man, the Lord did some incredible things this week. You've heard a little bit, so let me give you a little bit of context to some of the things that you've heard. We go out, share the gospel, and one of our team members shared the gospel. I think it was the second day of ministry, maybe, or something like that, but Steve was able to stand up, share the gospel, and we let the local pastors give the invitation. And as a result, in that particular community, many—I would say most of the ones that were present—responded to the gospel. And so they asked them, "Hey, would you like for us to start a Baptist church here?" If they say yes, then we turn around, plant the church. That's the way that Russellville Second Baptist Church was planted there in northeastern Ghana. And so that was a year ago. And so then we had opportunity. And so, Lord, just thank the Lord, we were able to plant five churches while we were there in Ghana this year, and just, man, celebrating what God's doing through that. We didn't go around and get a head count, but we believe somewhere around 400 through all of the church plants collectively, around 400 prayed to receive Christ and responded. And y'all, I'm telling you, follow-up, leadership training, all that begins quickly. The Moose and the guys that we work with there, man, they're passionate about this, and so they're faithful to that. It is a different experience teaching or preaching with an interpreter. And so, man, just what a blessing to work with those guys that are strong in the Lord and faithful. In Ghana alone, there are 64 languages. English is the national language, but it's not very many people's kind of native tongue. They'll have a tribal or communal kind of community language, but we work among the Kakumba people. And so the Ndopwa, good morning, Lafibe, I'm doing fine, Na, Anawin, Analatween, good evening, thank you. Those are all Kakumba language, and so... anyway, just some incredible things. We got to stop at a few churches that we planted last year, share an encouraging word. That's what Kelvin was talking about. First day we were supposed to baptize, but we showed up, it was raining, and several of the people weren't ready. We were able to, I'll talk about that in just a moment. And so that day it was like, well, we're here, what are we going to do? And so I stick my head in the van, said, Kelvin, you're up in 5 minutes. And so anyway, they gathered the people. We found a little nook underneath one of the kind of the hut houses there. And he did such a great job sharing. And so you should be really proud of the missionaries that you sent this week. God used them in an incredible way. You were a part of effective ministry in Ghana, and we had some adventures along the way. I will testify, no baboons came in my room this year, so thank the Lord for that. We avoided those for the most part, so anyway, it was a great week. Thankful for you. I do want to share with you an incredible, for me, one of the highlights of the trip was we were finally able, worked it out. We tried a few different times. It didn't work, but we went back one day, went to Russellville Second Baptist, and then also we picked up a group of folks, went on to the next community, to another church that we planted last year that Pastor Chad planted, and picked up just a few more folks, and then we drove a little ways, parked, walked a pretty good ways, and we got to do some baptisms. And so I forgot to get this done earlier this morning, but I passed on a video. Is that video ready? Are we able to watch that maybe? We think so. All right, so hey, listen to me. Lean in real close. You know why that's so, I've got goosebumps right now. That is the first baptism of Russellville Second Baptist Church, and that's the leader of Russellville Second Baptist Church. Amen. And man, I'm telling you, we're standing there in this body of water, and you can't see it, but kind of from there, close to from the camera where the phone's at there, there's 12 other individuals, and you kind of heard them singing a little bit. They sing the entire time that we do baptisms. And so I asked for the first baptism to be this young man who was a leader, and we baptized, I think it was either 8 or 9 as a part of Russellville Second Baptist Church. Man, isn't that just cool that a year ago there, shared the gospel, they responded, and now here a year later we've gone back, we've sent drums, the drums are there, they've got a Bible, and then we've gone back and been able to be a part of baptizing the first folks as part of Russellville Second Baptist Church. And so grateful for the ministry opportunities, excited about that. And so I echo the thoughts of your mission team of thank you so much. Thank you for praying. I know many of you prayed for us. We all had our luggage for the most part. Our flights were on time and for the most part painless, and could have been a lot worse in some of our travel. And again, for the most part, had good health and all that kind of thing. And so grateful for your faithfulness to pray for us. Thank you for giving. It's an expensive trip. They're not giving away the airline tickets to go. And it takes a lot of travel to get where the Lord sends us. Among the Kakoma people in northeastern Ghana, it takes almost 36 hours from the time we leave here to the time we get to there among the Kakoma people. And that's pretty much travel time. That's not even, there's a nap or two in between with that. And so it's tough to get there. And so we couldn't have done it without you, without your faithfulness to pray for us, without your faithfulness to give and to send us. And so I'm grateful for that. Well, I hope that you have your Bible. I want to preach to you this morning, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I want to share with you a message that I've titled, Feet of the Gospel. Feet of the Gospel. I want to preach just a few verses. Not going to be a long time this morning, but just want to share with you just some truth that the Lord really stirred in my heart. You may even seen a graphic that I posted on social media this week of just being in a particular place, and one of our guys was sharing the gospel and planting a church, and just thinking about that God would send a team from Russellville, Arkansas, and a team from Fort Gibson, Oklahoma, all the way to Accra, and then drive 6 hours, get on a ferry, cross a river which leads to the largest man-made lake in the world. Then we would continue to drive nearly 2 more hours to a little community south of Pondai, and then from there, get some rest and drive a couple more hours to get to some community out in the bush and get a chance to share the gospel that they may know Jesus. And so this morning, man, I just want to share with you this message the Lord's laid on my heart, just give you some truth from that. And so if you have your Bible, I hope that you do. Will you stand with me? We're going to read from Romans 10, verse 14 through 17. In honor of the Word of God, we stand together. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, "The Lord, who has believed our report?" So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. God, I pray that you bless the preaching of your word. Give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. God, you be glorified in our time together this morning. We pray and ask all this in the matchless, wonderful, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I want to talk to you this morning about the feet of the gospel. The main idea of our text this morning is this, is the message needs a messenger. The message needs a messenger. Even the story that Sharon references of Moose sharing about the chief asking, going, man, if this message was 2,000 years ago and it's so important, why are we just now hearing it? Why is there 1/3 of 8 billion people across the face of the planet have never heard the name of Jesus? Why are there 2/3 of the 8 billion people have never heard the gospel of Jesus the way that you and I know and understand it this morning? And so the message demands a messenger. And so I want to ask you this morning is, are you taking the message? Are you a messenger? How is God using you to deliver, to take the message of Jesus, the hope of the gospel? And so there are 4 truths from the text this morning I want to survey. And I realize this is a familiar text to many of us, and not going to belabor over each one for long, but just want to share some of this truth that the Lord stirred in my heart this week while we were in Ghana. So then, if you're taking notes, number one, we have a message to tell. I want you to see from the text that we have a message to tell. Listen to verse 14. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? Now hit pause. Verse 13 tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you remember 9 and 10? You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the message that we have. And so he tells in verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he says the problem is this, is that there's some who have not heard. They have not heard this message. And so he reminds us, we have a message to tell. How shall they call on Him, that is Jesus, who they have not believed? You go, well, Pastor, maybe they haven't believed. Why have they not believed? I'm glad you've asked. He says, and how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? Man, listen, is it not condemning to the church today to go, there are 8 billion people on the face of the planet. Many, many, many will die and go to hell today because they have not believed in the name of Jesus, and they haven't believed because they haven't heard of Him. Listen, at our fingertips, we have more technology, more comfort, more advances, and particularly in America, we have more than all that we need to go and share the message. And I'm not just talking about to the ends of the earth in Ghana, I'm even talking about right here. Man, it is to our own detriment, it is to our own judgment that we have folks in our community that have not yet believed on the name of Jesus, and it may be because they haven't heard. He says, how are they going to call on Him if they haven't believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And here's what you need to understand. In this context, this is not capital P in terms of a professional. This isn't just talking about an office of a church. But rather, this context is Paul's writing. How shall they hear? Well, a preacher. In this context, a preacher is anybody proclaiming faith in Jesus, sharing the gospel. And so in this context, and I understand we're not talking about an office, okay? But even in this context, you've heard this morning from a mission team of many that went and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus. The three others that you heard from this morning are not, capital P, a part of the office of the local church, but rather they are preachers in the sense that they share the hope of the gospel. Every born-again believer is called to be a preacher in that sense. That you and I have a responsibility. We have a message to share. And listen, I get it. I understand. Man, it gives us the heebie-jeebies. It causes us to shrivel up and tighten up. Listen, I saw some of the fear in some of our folks' faces when I said, hey, you're up. I get it. I've been there. And there's still times where, man, it gets nerve-wracking to me and all this sort of thing. But here's what I need to tell you. Every person in this room, if you know enough of the gospel to give your heart to Jesus, you know enough of the gospel to share with somebody else. And he says, how are they going to call on him if they don't believe him? And how are they going to believe in something that they don't know about? And how are they going to hear it without a preacher? Listen, church, I just want to remind you this morning, while I was sitting in Africa and this text just kept coming back to mind, that we as a church have a responsibility because we have a message to share. And it's a message like no other. Like no other. There's no other belief system in the world that claims that the Son of God got up out of a grave when he was dead and raised from the dead. There's no other religion in the world that says that the Son of God shed his blood so that you could have forgiveness of sin and have salvation in him. This is the only hope that any human has and has ever had in all of human history. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, in the truth. There's no other way to the Father but through me. 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us of this message. This is the gospel. He says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. By the way, notice that he says, I've received it. What's Paul saying? I know enough of the gospel to get saved, and that's what I'm coming to tell you. Here's the gospel. He says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the Scripture. That's the gospel. Every person in this room knows enough to be able to share this message. And God has raised you up. God has saved you. He has equipped you to share the message of the gospel. And so the gospel has to have feet. The gospel has been sent. So we have a message to tell. Number two, we have a commission to obey. We have a commission to obey. Look at verse 15. And how shall they hear, or how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, who bring glad tidings of good things. What's he saying? Beautiful are the feet who proclaim the gospel, who tell others. What's he doing here? Man, we have a message to share, and we have a commission to obey. We've been sent. So the reality is this morning that you don't need to pray about whether God wants you to go or not. You need to pray why you need to stay. Because you've already been sent. I know it. I said it right there, right? Oftentimes we spend a lot of time praying about, God, do you want me to go? Do you want me to go? And I just wonder how many times that the Lord is sitting there going, I've told you to go. I've told you. I've sent you. You've been sent. There's not a private in the world that when his commanding officer walks in to the company and there are marching orders that they are being sent out, that the private comes back a few days later and go, hey, Commander, I'm just wondering, when you went and told everybody they should go, did that mean me? I mean, I know you, I was there, and I'm a part of the company, and the company has been sent, but I've really been thinking, I'm not sure I'm supposed to go. That conversation doesn't happen, does it? Why? Because the private knows that he has marching orders. And dear friend, I just want to remind you, we have marching orders. Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Dear friend, we have a commission. Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples of every nation. Mark 16:15, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1:8. You shall be witnesses to me in the uttermost parts of the earth. So, friend, I just want to remind you, we have a message to share. We have a commission to obey. Now, listen, I do realize there's physical limitations. There's some real reality that not everybody can get on an aeroplane and go to Accra, and then drive all that way to Ponda. I fully understand. But dear friend, I venture to say most all of us can go next door. All of us can go to the grocery store. All of us can go to our family. All of us can go to our friend. All of us can cross the street. We've been sent. We have a message to declare. And then number three, we have a response to expect. Listen to verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? What's he saying? Not everybody responded to the gospel. Listen, I'd love to tell you that in every village we went to, every time the gospel would share, that every single person stood up and repented and placed their faith and trust in Jesus. Unfortunately, I can't tell you that. Now, most of them, the majority did. But even when I shared the gospel, I got the chance to share the gospel in this community, man, way at the end of the worst road in the face of the planet. I think, if I remember correctly, I think it took us an hour and 15 minutes to drive 9 miles on this road. Amen. Bless the Lord, right? But shared the gospel, got to the end. Many responded, but I remember sitting there, the chief and several other men just sat and listened and did not respond, at least that day. And so I want to tell you, I don't want to romanticize this, go, man, just if you share the gospel all the time, people are going to fall all over themselves to get saved. That doesn't happen all the time. Now listen, I've seen that a lot. I've seen some incredible things, and here's the deal. I don't know that I'll soon forget hearing Steve Overton share the gospel, sit down, watch these local pastors give the invitation, and I'm taking some pictures, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking and seeing the reaction of Steve's face as many of these individuals respond, and they repent, place their faith and trust in Jesus, as they hold up their hands, praying, asking Jesus to save them. Boy, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. Seeing these individuals share, repent, place their faith and trust in Jesus. There are times that people are hard. And I don't want any part of that. Get out of here. There are times that people put you off. There are times when people repent and believe in Jesus. Acts 17, at the end of Paul sharing the gospel, man, giving an incredible message. Acts 17, 32 through 34, this is what it records. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, look at this, some mocked, others said, we will hear you again in this matter. So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed. So what happened? What were the three reactions to the gospel? Some made fun of him. said, you're crazy. Here you are saying that somebody, the Son of God came, lived a sinless, perfect life, died on my cross, was buried, and was raised from the dead, and you're telling me that he loves me and wants to save me. And they made fun of him, mocked him. That's what the scripture says. And then some said, man, we'll hear you another time. What'd they do? They put it off. They procrastinated. You know what they said? Here's how it would go in the South, going, and I'm just not ready right now. Yeah, man, that time will come. I'm just not ready right now. That's what we would say in the South. Go, man, we're just putting it off. We're not ready. And then the scripture says here, New King James says, some joined him and believed. King James says, some clave and believed. What does that mean? It means that not every time you share the gospel, man, it doesn't mean that somebody's going to repent and believe right then. But here's what you need to hear, church. God has not called you to share the gospel and every time somebody gets saved. Your responsibility is not about the response. Your responsibility is your faithfulness to share the gospel. That was a good place to say amen. Y'all got to help me this morning, man. I've been preaching in Africa and they don't do anything quiet. Amen. Boy, Al Ray just standing there in those churches, and I got to preach on Sunday in Chamba. Have you been to Chamba? but Chamba Baptist Church, and we're getting ready to share the gospel, and that church, Sharon, I don't think we could have got these pews in that church, right? It wasn't a lot smaller than this, but something like that, and I don't know, there were 60 or 70 people there. Now, it did make me laugh. They did have a sound system in there. And that speaker was about that tall, okay? And now, mind you, okay, this is a, let's just say it's a mud hut, but it's got a solid roof, and there's not very many windows in there. Ask me if it was hot, okay? But there wasn't very many windows and just a couple doorways, and I think they've got that thing turned up about as loud as it'll go, all right? So it didn't take... And here's the deal. I mean, anyway, it was loud. But to stand there, they always want us to take a seat of honor. So we're sitting on the stage and watching them worship. And you know, watching, and here's the deal. Every person, and Sharon, if you want to correct, every person in that place had their head thrown back, singing full voice. Worshiping God, honoring Him, doing it with passion. And man, that just challenged my heart. Going, how many times I'm guilty just to come in and just passively go through worship. And here they are knowing that their hope is in whatever God can do in their life. And they're not ashamed to sing about it. They're not ashamed to talk about it. Well, that's free. That's a total rabbit chase, all right? But we better expect their responses to the gospel. Your call, your responsibility is faithfulness to share, trusting the Holy Spirit to do what only He can. And sometimes people are going to reject it. Some people are going to say, man, I'm just not ready yet. And some will repent and believe on Him. So we've got a message, we have a commission. And then we can expect some responses out of that sharing of the message. By the way, we ought, and this is what we share with people, that whenever we go into these villages, we start with saying they're used to having community meetings. And we tell them, hey, this is the most important community meeting you'll ever have. And at the end of this meeting, listen, before we share the gospel, this is what we tell them. He said, at the end of this meeting, you will make a decision. And a decision not to do anything is a decision. Why? Because the gospel demands a reaction. It demands a decision. You're confronted the reality of your sin, the separation between you and God, what God has done on your behalf, and every individual will choose what they do, what they want to do with that. And if they don't react at all, that is a decision. And so we've got a message, we have a commission. You better expect a response. And then number four, we have an authority for the message. Look at verse 17. So then faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Here's what's incredible to me as we go And you've heard from testimony this morning. We got to train, the men got to train some pastors and leaders, other men in the church. We got to, I don't know, somewhere around 30 or something like that. We got to teach and invest in, all that sort of thing. The ladies, particularly the last session, had a lot show up, and so they had somewhere closer to about 100 in total between the three different sessions, maybe even more than that. They got to teach, and between the two groups, you probably could count on one hand the number of physical Bibles that were present. Some of the guys would have a phone. They may be looking at it on their phone, but even still, many of them had a pretty decent handling and understanding of biblical stories and biblical truth and some things going on, and it was just such a drastic reminder for me of this verse. Is that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That even though many of them didn't have the ability to have the Word of God, study and read it at a whim, you know, like you and I, we have multitudes of Bibles on our shelves. But they still had a pretty strong, many of them, some did not. Some of them were pretty new believers. Some haven't, but some of them have been walking with the Lord for a little while. But the Word of God had gotten down into their soul and captivated them and taught them and instructed them. But here's what I need you to understand, that when we go plant a church, we tell them how important the meeting is, and then we stand up and we lift up the copy of Scripture, and we tell them, we're going to share with them a story, and it'll be unlike any other story they've ever heard, but it's true, and it's from the Word of God. And it's important that they listen and understand. Then we use a soccer ball to share the gospel. But here's what I need you to know, is we share that story, we use the Word of God because it's the Word of God that brings change in an individual's life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you have a message to share, and I want to encourage you, as you share that message, be faithful to use the truth and to use the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that brings about change. Psalm 19:7 says it this way, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Man, it's the Word of God that brings change in an individual's life. So let me remind you this morning is that we have a message to share. And I wonder this morning, how are you being a messenger? There's a message. We have been sent. People are going to respond, but it may not be the way that you and I hoped or wanted. And then we have authority, and that is the Word of God. It's not our clever stories, it's not our eloquent speech, but it is the Word of God that brings about change in an individual's life. And so, dear friend, here's my challenge to you this morning. First of all, if you've never repented and placed your faith and trust in Jesus, maybe you've had one of these other responses, going, preacher, that's nonsense, don't need for somebody else. But maybe this morning God's convicted your heart. Most important thing you'll ever do is repent and believe. Some of you may say, man, for years I've been saying, I'm not ready. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. I want to encourage you, if you've not repented and placed your faith and trust in Jesus, do it today. And for many of us, we have repented and believed on Him and been saved for a long time. And the reality is, if our church reflects that of most Southern Baptist churches, the reality is this, is that majority of us have never one time shared the gospel with anybody. And man, we're going to have to stand before the Lord one day for that. I know it's a strong word this morning. I know it's a strong challenge. And I know the enemy comes and sits on our shoulder and tells us, you're not a good speaker, you're not this or not that. But dear friend, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because here's the reality, it's not dependent on you. But rather, Jesus has saved you. He has planted Himself through the Holy Spirit in you. And all He desires is faithfulness and obedience. And I can promise you this, you can visit with some of the team members from this past 2 weeks, is that when you step out in faithfulness, the Spirit of God will meet you right where you're at, and He'll give you what you need. Because it's not about you and it's not about me. My challenge to you is this. pray that a God will burden your heart, you'll share the gospel. Pray that God will give you an opportunity. My prayer is that in the, man, if you've never once shared the gospel of Jesus with anybody, my prayer is that in the next month, you'll take a step of faith and share that. I don't care if you have to get a Bible tract. We've got tracts here. I'll give you one. If that means reading it to somebody. I want to encourage you, if you've never shared the gospel in the next month, will you make a commitment today between you and the Lord? And then I want you to tell somebody else who will love you and hold you accountable. Hey, I need you to check back with me on August 9th to say, hey, have you shared the gospel with anybody in the last month? My challenge to you is this: if you've never been on a mission trip, we'll have some opportunities to go right here locally. We'll have some opportunities in the state. And others over the next year. My challenge to you is, if you're physically able and God opens up the door, would you commit to go on a mission trip? I don't care if it's one day, to go on a mission trip in the next year. And that could be here. It could be to Ghana. We have a message to tell. We've been sent. It's not our responsibility to worry about the results. And we be faithful to share the gospel according to the scriptures. Commit today to share the gospel in the next month. Commit today that in the next year, some way, somehow, you're going to go on a mission trip. And trust the Lord to do what only He can. You may be in a position, in a stage in life where it's just not physically, humanly possible. I beg you to do this. Pray like there's no tomorrow, that God will send out laborers into the harvest. And then pray that God will make us a church that continues to be a sending church and that gives until it hurts, that the whole world may hear the gospel. Let's pray. Jesus, you're good, and there's none like you. And God, I pray this morning that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. I pray if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, God, would you save them? God, I pray that they repent and place their faith and trust in you. And if that's you this morning, then you may pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart, wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. I trust you now, Jesus. And I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll be what you want me to be. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to have a time of invitation. In just a moment, I'm going to pray again. If you just prayed that prayer, whenever I get done praying, I hope you'll meet me at the front and say, Pastor, I pray and ask Jesus to save me today. And then for some of us, we know that we know Christ. Man, I'm going to challenge you. Man, maybe you need to pray and take it before the Lord. I need to accept that invitation to share the gospel at least one time in the next month. Maybe you've shared the gospel before, but you've not been faithful to it. Take that challenge. Take the challenge that, man, God, open up the door. Maybe I'll be able to go on a mission trip in the next year. Let's spend the next few moments and just take these things before the Lord. If you want to come up front and pray, you're welcome to do that. You want somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. Jesus, you're good. I pray that you would, God, help us to be faithful and obedient to you. Help us to respond to your word this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. You may an attitude of prayer. We're going to take the next few moments. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. You want to come up front and pray? Whatever the Lord's doing in your life, you be obedient to Him. Lord, you're good and gracious and kind. Thank you for today. I pray that, God, you'd help us to be obedient to you, the Great Commission. Help us share the gospel. God, you be glorified. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, amen. We just have a couple things we want to mention before we dismiss. And so I'm going to ask Al Ray to come and he's going to share with you for just a moment.
After a lot of prayer and just seeking the Lord's will, today I'm officially submitting my retirement notice as your minister of music, effective August 27, 2023. I want to thank you so much for loving me and taking care of me and my family for the past 26 and a half years. Second Baptist will always hold a special place in my heart. Sherry and I plan to spend a lot of time with grandchildren.
I'm thankful for you, brother. And selfishly, I'm grieved because I love serving with our staff. And I love Al Ray and his faithfulness. He has been, he has been a friend and encouragement to me and to my family. I've made a lot of mistakes, and he's helped me avoid a bunch of them. So thank the Lord for that. Grateful for him and just all the 26 and a half years. And brothers, I think about your service here. There's one word that comes to mind, and that's faithfulness. And so I'm grateful for that. I know I share the emotions of many that sad but excited about what the Lord's going to do in the days ahead. In your life and trusting the Lord to do great things in the days ahead of Second Baptist as well. We will...